O Lord, our God, we pray that you may so deal with us and pour down your Spirit from on high, that we may truly believe and feel that our citizenship is in heaven, and that we may indeed eagerly wait for the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we may have a heart for Christ. Oh, that we may feel his love and love him and long and yearn for our reunion with Christ. So Lord, help us as we open up your word, speak to us your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, dear friends, may I invite you all to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 to 31. First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 to 31. Here Paul says, "But of him," meaning of God, "you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Well, since we cannot meet physically and we cannot have our normal memory verses, take this as the memory verse for both adults and children and the Sunday school students. Well, we have been trying to open up these key texts in the Bible. Paul says to the believers in Corinth, "But of God, you people are in Christ Jesus." Who are Christians? Well, they are those who are in Christ Jesus. And last Sunday morning, we looked together in what sense that it is because of God that we are in Christ. We noticed it's because of Christ's election of us before the foundation of the world, and also in time. It's because of God sent His Spirit to regenerate us, to give us new birth, that we become those people who are in Christ. Now this morning we shall continue to look at these two Bible verses, and especially we shall look at how Christ is our righteousness. It is because of God that we are in Christ, and God has made Christ to be wisdom from him, and God has made Christ to be our righteousness. So Christ, our righteousness, is our theme this morning. And I would also like to draw your attention to a number of parallel passages to help us to understand this reality more. They're there, as we've given you the notice of the service. The first one is in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 to 25. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness." And then Romans chapter 5, verse 17. "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. "And be found in him," meaning in Christ, "not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Dear friends, have you ever wondered and asked this question? What is the greatest and deepest problem in this world? What is it? We certainly have many problems, but what is the deepest and greatest problem in this world? Well, I guess many would say it's because we are not happy. And the chief purpose for human existence is to be happy. But the Bible tells us our greatest problem is not unhappiness, but unrighteousness. The world is not right because it is not in a right relationship with God. But just look at our present abnormal existence. It's really abnormal, isn't it? People say this is the new norm. No, we refuse to accept that. Look at the social distancing. Avoiding people as if they were pests. That can't be right. It ought not to be that grandchildren cannot play with their grandparents. It should not be that only 5 people can attend a wedding. And that includes the celebrant and the couple and the 2 witnesses. And usually witnesses are not the parents. That means even parents cannot attend their children's wedding. It should not be that children could not visit their parents at the nursing home. How hurtful it would be, not just for the resident in the nursing home, but for the children. I know people in their 60s. After work, they would go to the nursing home to talk with mother, to wash mother, to anoint cream on mother. How hurtful those children would feel. This is not normal. Now, I'm not saying that we should not obey the law. We understand why these things are as they are, and we should obey the law. The point I'm making is that this is not what it should be. Human society should not be like that. Family relationship should not be like this. What we're experiencing now is symptomatic of our sin-sick world. Paul tells us the whole creation is under the bondage of corruption. In Romans 8, this is part of this bondage of corruption. Diseases and hostilities and suspicions and retaliation and so on and so forth. Now, God's remedy for this world is to make sin-sick humanity to be right with Him again. The reason why we don't naturally think of unrighteousness to be our deepest problem is because sin has affected our mind as well. Have you ever considered that sin has affected our mind as well? None of us is thinking as properly as he or she should. We are not thinking like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before their rebellion against God. Our mind is affected by sin. We don't think properly, 100%, whether we're working the lab or whether we're dealing with international relationships. The mind is affected as well. Now, God's answer to the unrighteousness in the world is to send His own righteous Son to be united to human flesh, and Christ in His human flesh died in the place of unrighteous people. The sinners who believe in Him, they can be made right with God by receiving the gift of the righteousness of Christ. Well, God is a righteous God. He would put everything right by His Son. And one day, the whole creation will be liberated from the bondage of corruption. One day, there shall be no more plague, no more death, or sorrow, or illnesses, or tears. We not only long that we may meet physically again and function as a normal society and normal family, but by the grace of God, we long for that day when truth will be on the throne and errors on the scaffold, and every disease, every plague will be put down, and sorrow shall be turned to joy, and all tears shall be wiped away. This morning we shall look at the first step. For us to get into that state is to receive God's gift of His righteousness. We only got two major headings this morning. The first major heading is very simple. Christ's righteousness is God's gift to a sin-sick humanity. Christ's righteousness is God's gift. If you may turn back to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. No one, by keeping the law, will be declared righteous in God's sight, because no one can keep God's righteous law perfectly. Try as we may. But then Paul goes on to say in verse 21, but now, this is the good news, but now, something is different. The righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. This is a righteousness, apart from our keeping the law, our law works, is now revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. The law and the prophet is what we may call the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament witness to this gift of God's righteousness. And verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There we are told the righteousness of God is manifested, and that is to be received by faith. Another passage, Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You got that? The gift of righteousness. Think of that. Righteousness is not usually a gift. And this is something really unusual in this supernatural, because you do right, you are righteous. And it's not a gift. You can't give your righteousness to another person in a normal course of event. Your father is honest. You told a lie. You've been dishonest. Well, your father cannot give his honesty to you. Usually, it does not work like that. But here we are not talking about the usual thing. We are talking about the supernatural thing. Philippians 3, verse 9. Paul says there about his life. Oh, I want to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Well, Paul says here, I want to be found in Christ, not because of my righteousness, my own righteousness. I don't have that. Well, Paul, you do have that, don't you? In terms of human righteousness, you were brought up in the most religious way. You were a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You got the best education. You were steeped in scriptures. You got a doctorate in theology. Oh, yes. But all those things cannot save me. Not having my own righteousness, but I received by faith the righteousness which is from God. It's a gift. And our Lord Jesus Christ earned this righteousness by his perfect life and his suffering on the cross. Back to Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption is in Christ Jesus. Well, later on, not today, but maybe 2 weeks later, we shall look at redemption in particular. But now, redemption is found in Christ, and verse 25 in Romans chapter 3, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his own blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Why did God give us this gift of Christ's righteousness? What moved God to give us the gift of his righteousness, of Christ's righteousness? Well, we are told all through Scripture, God gave us this most marvelous gift because of his abundant grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I love these two phrases. Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Why does God give us the gift of righteousness? It's because of the abundance of his grace. The Lord God, is gracious and merciful. And his grace is not just a little grace. It's abundance. Like the roaring ocean. Grace upon grace. Wave upon wave. What is grace? Grace is doing good, giving good gifts to those who don't deserve it at all. Think of a situation like this. A colleague of yours at work was nasty and mean to you. He accused you wrongly of having done some terrible wrong. He framed you. He stabbed you at the back. And one day, his car broke down. And you gave him a lift home. Now that is grace. That person does not deserve it, but out of your kindness, you gave him what he does not deserve. So grace is giving people good things, good gifts that they don't deserve. That is grace. And why did God give us the gift of Christ's righteousness? It's because it is his delight to do good to those who don't deserve it. And then the Bible tells us the righteousness of Christ is the righteousness of God. Christ's righteousness is God's righteousness. How does it work? How come it's like that? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. When our Lord Jesus suffered, he suffered in his human flesh. But the person who suffered is also the God-man. Ever since the eternal Son of God became flesh, humanity and divinity are united together in one person forever. The eternal Word, the eternal Logos, the eternal Son of God, will never leave the human flesh that he has become united to. He became flesh, actually. So when Jesus died and paid for our sins in his own blood, that blood has infinite value because the person who suffered is not just a human person. He is the God-man. And that's why the righteousness Jesus achieved is called the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 22 again. You don't need to turn to that. Just listen. It says there, but now the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God. Christ's righteousness is God's righteousness. Philippians 3, verse 9 again. Not having my own righteousness, which is through the law or from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So Christ's righteousness is God's righteousness, is the righteousness from God, and you and I are to receive God's gift of righteousness by faith. There's only one proper response to God's gift of Christ's righteousness, and that is to receive it. Now I want to pause here and ask you, have you received God's gift of Christ's righteousness? Have you got it? Have you received it? Or are you still saying no? Are you still keeping social distancing from Christ? Just like a few days ago, or last week, it should be, I met a neighbor, and she was very cautious, and she talked to me, and I stepped forward, and she was just holding her hand out like that. Well, don't get near me. Are you doing that to Christ? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Our second major heading tonight, this morning, I'm getting too fast. It's still in the morning. The second major heading is that we are to receive God's gift of Christ's righteousness by faith. May I say this reverently? God is not going to force it on us. God is gracious and gentle. He is not going to inject Christ's righteousness to us by force. He is not going to overcome us and put us to sleep and inject Christ's righteousness into us We must receive it willingly and thankfully. Let me tell you something trivial, but it stayed with me for the past 40 years and more. I remember more than 40 years ago on the last Sunday when I was in a home church before I came here as an overseas student. It was announced in church that Johnny was going to Australia to study. I grew up in a small church plant in a poor industrial area. We were not an independent church. We could only meet on Sunday afternoon because we need the fully ordained pastor to pronounce the benediction and also to administer the Lord's Supper. And we got assessor elders in terms of our Presbyterian terms, but it was really a senior elder from a mother church. It was and still is a witch church. And this senior elder, something like assessor elder, would come every Sunday. And after church, he came up to me and said, "Well, I didn't know that you would be going to Australia. I was not told, and I got nothing for you." And then he pulled out from his shirt pocket this pen. He said, "Take this. My dear friend, this is a Parker sterling silver pen with a 14-karat gold nib." That senior elder was not a rich man at all, but he was a gentleman, a most godly man, and a generous man. And he gave this pen to me. I was overjoyed. I would not even cover such a pen. I guess I would never buy such an expensive pen. I received it with deep gratitude to such a man. I could, when I'm saying this to you now, I can still remember his face and his name. And friends, I've been using this pen even now almost every day. Such a good pen. I actually wrote the first draft of this sermon, which you can see in this pen. You know what I could do on that Sunday afternoon? I could say to him, "Oh no, this pen is too expensive. It's your personal pen. I can't receive it." Or I could say to him, "Well, what do you think I am? Yes, I'm a poor boy in a poor church. You may be richer. Are you looking down on me? I'm not going to receive your gift." And that would hurt him, undoubtedly. But friends, I receive it with joy and I use it to this very day. And I guess as long as I can write, I will still be using this. My dear friends, we are to receive God's gift of Christ's righteousness with empty hands. How does a child receive the gift of a box of chocolate? With empty hand. "Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Vowed, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." Why would anyone not receive such a good gift as the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ? I can think of two reasons at least. Because of ignorance, many people say, "I don't need such a gift. I don't need the righteousness of Christ." Others reject it because of pride. They say, "Well, I can make myself better and more acceptable to God." Our Lord Jesus tells this little story in Luke chapter 18. He says two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed in this way to himself, really. Was speaking to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. Wow, what a good man I am in comparison with other people. I don't cheat, I don't extort. I'm not an immoral person. I fast twice a week. Wow, was he not a good man? When was the last time you fast and pray? I mean fasting. Going without food, without water, to pray. And this man gave tithe of everything he has. He was really conscientious in tithing. He would not cheat God a single cent. Oh, by the way, we all got this sort of Pharisee, Pharisaical DNA in us. Just a bit, perhaps. This bit of self-righteousness. I'm a Christian. I'm not an immoral person. I give. Wow, I give. So much. I serve God. Well, I'm not just a Christian. I'm a reformed Christian. I'm real reformed. Presbyterian. Wow. No wonder our Lord Jesus warned the disciples to be aware of the east of the Pharisees. So people reject such a good gift because of ignorance, because of pride. Is there anyone among you who is listening or watching this morning who's like that? Are you saying that I'm okay? You know, this self-righteousness so deep down. You ask any child, you explain to that child what is a sinner. And you ask the child, are you a sinner? And the child said, no, I'm good. I'm better than my brother. Friends, to those who receive the gifts of Christ's righteousness, there's life and joy and peace. Look at the tax collector. Poor man, he was a cheat. He has not given anything to anyone. Certainly not tithing. Certainly no time for fasting and prayer. But now, he was so ashamed of himself, he could not even raise his eyes to heaven. He was beating his breast, saying to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm too ashamed to pray. I've been a terrible man, a crook and a cheat, other things as well. But Jesus tells us, it was this man, the tax collector, who went to his home justified. What a reversal of fortunes. Surprising reversal. I remember one of my friends who is now with the Lord, who suffered much in his life, and he got a sermon on this passage, Luke chapter 18. And the sermon title is Good Man Lost and Bad Man Saved. Well, I think that captures this passage well, isn't it? Good man lost, bad man saved, because the bad man received the gift of the righteousness of Christ. To those who receive Christ's righteousness, They do so with joyful amazement. They say, well, this is exactly what I need. I cannot make myself better. I've tried before. I know I'm a failure. I can never come up to God's standard. And this is such wonderful. This is God's wisdom. That I should just receive this gift of Christ's righteousness. And I'm saved. How wonderful this is. And for those who have received Christ's righteousness, they have a thankful confidence. They can say something like this. I actually cannot lose this gift. God will not take this gift away from me. God will always accept me. Why? Because God is always well pleased with my Lord Jesus Christ. Not having my own righteousness, not because of my own achievement in anything, but because God is well pleased with my Lord Jesus Christ. Now by faith I'm united to Him, by faith of His righteousness, and God will never ever forsake His Son. No. Spurgeon has a really encouraging saying. He once said, Noah, might have fallen many times in the ark, but Noah never fell out of the ark. Isn't that beautiful and comforting? Noah might have fallen many times in the ark, but he never fell out of the ark. I may have fallen many times already. I may still see the wounds and bruises in my soul. I may still fall terribly in the future. But I can never ever fall out of God's grace, because God is so happy with His Son, my Lord Jesus Christ. I'll finish with this. We're going to sing this later on. A debt taught to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing. Nor fear with thy righteousness on, my person and offering to bring. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgression from view. Eternity will not erase my name from the palms of His hands. Impressed on His heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Friends, but this is not a license to sin. Because Christ is not only our righteousness, but is also our holiness. Next week, God be willing, we shall look at that. Christ, our sanctification. But for now, let us pray. O Lord Jesus, you have said, those who humbled themselves shall be exalted. May we humble ourselves before you. May you take away the remnants of self-righteousness in us, that we may bow low in humble adoration and worship, receiving the gift of Christ's righteousness. Instead of judging others, or perhaps even judging God, may we learn to condemn ourselves, that we can be justified by faith in Christ. Speak to us, O God. Melt us with your love. Move us to receive Christ's righteousness every day, indeed every moment. In Jesus' name. Amen.